everybody. Welcome into week 6 of the Football Focus podcast, brought to you by Tommy's Pizza 2 in Cranston. I'm William Gagan here with Kevin Pomeroy. We've got another exciting week of football. A little low on quantity. It's kind of a quiet week in Division 2.
Yes.
A lot of non-league games in that slate, but we make up for it with a big, big game in Division 1, the first of many big games. If you look at the schedule, we've got Hendricken visiting Cranston East on Friday at 7 p.m., and that is easily our podcast game of the week. So we begin by talking about that one.
Yeah, it has the potential to be our podcast game of the year.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's one we had circled at the beginning, and I don't think we were the only ones who had really thought this one might decide first place in the division, might decide who sort of has a leg up as far as a Super Bowl run, who could host a playoff game. I mean, these were all things we considered when we saw this matchup in the middle of the season when we looked at the schedule at the start. And it doesn't seem quite as big now that East has taken a loss. Mm-hmm. And they lost that game to Barrington a little bit earlier in the season. But I don't think it's any denying that it still has huge playoff implications. Hendricken is still undefeated. East just has that one loss and is 2-1 and could really use a marquee win to get itself back on the map. Yeah. And have people really take it seriously as a Super Bowl contender like they did when the season started.
Yeah, absolutely. From the Hendricken perspective, they are exactly where they want to be at this point. 4-0 in league play, 5-0 overall. Things have gone very, very well. The kind of the potential that was there in the regular season, it's played out. Their offense that we thought might be a lot better is, they've taken a leap. They've scored the most points in the division. And the defense that was kind of young, especially in the front seven, they've done great and have allowed the fewest points in the league. So that they're very clearly the number one team right now. I don't think there's any denying that.
Except to the one voter.
Except to the one voter who keeps voting for Barrington, who may be the same voter who kept voting for Cranston East. But apart from that, I think pretty much Hendricken is the consensus best team in the state right now. A lot of reasons why, what we just mentioned. You got Remington Blue, 12 touchdowns in 5 games this year on the ground. He's been terrific. And Pat Gill has played well at quarterback. So things are going great for Hendricken, and now this begins kind of their big stretch. They've played the 4 bottom teams so far, when you look at the standings. That means they have to play now the next 4, the 4 who are up there with them as the best teams. And this is a chance for the Hawks to get off on the right foot in that stretch.
Yeah, evaluating them has been a little bit difficult. They have been great, and they've been very impressive, and you don't want to diminish that. 2 of those wins are East Providence and Tolman. Most teams are going to beat those 2 teams this year. So you take that with a little bit of a grain of salt. I mean, LaSalle blew out Tolman, East blew out East Providence last week. I mean, that's just sort of what happens when these top teams face those bottom teams. But then the Cranston West and South Kingstown wins, I think, are pretty quality. I think those 2 teams are both going to upset some people. South Kingstown already has, beating Portsmouth this year. So to still win by pretty high margins, I think it was 36-14 against SK and 33-10 against West, that validates the 4-0 start a little bit more. And again, now knowing what we do about SK. But they haven't faced a team like East. They haven't faced a team with the offensive capabilities like East has. Defensively, they've probably faced some teams that are similar, but East has probably the best offense in the state. I know Hendricken has scored more points at this point, but they've played one more game. East is actually averaging more points, and some of the numbers are just eye-popping. Like, they're not normal high school numbers through 4 games. I mean, their quarterback, Alex Corvese, has thrown 16 touchdown passes in 4 games. I mean, most teams in the state will not throw 16 touchdown passes,
absolutely.
Period, the whole season. He's done it in 4 games. They've gone to 3 guys, Marvin Beauvais, Markeem Monroe, and Jimmy Saab.
Yep.
We talk about Marvin and Markeem all the time. Jimmy has kind of come on as a really reliable third weapon, and he gets a lot of single coverage and is open at times because teams have to concentrate so much on the other 2. And Alex Corvese, the quarterback, was really good last year. I've seen him this year, and he really has taken a step forward. I mean, I don't remember him making a bad throw in that game against Barrington, in which he threw the ball 30 times, 35 times. Every throw was on the money. He didn't force anything. I mean, it takes a really, really, really sound, strong defensive effort to slow them down. And I think slowing them down still means they'll score 28 points.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine them not scoring 4 or 5 touchdowns.
Right.
It really is. From the East perspective, we talked about Hendricken. From the East perspective, we mentioned a little bit earlier, they're trying to prove themselves again. They were the preseason number 2 team, lost to Barrington. That was a game they very easily could have won, and maybe should have if a call had gone their way at
Absolutely.
The end of the game. So they could very easily be undefeated right now. I think what they look at it as is this is a great chance to kind of get get firmly into the playoff race, make sure they're in it now, but also a chance to get some confidence because their defense especially is very young, and those guys took a beating against Barrington, gave up over 300 rushing yards. There was some improvement against East Providence, but you don't, again, you don't know what the Townies bring to the table.
Right.
So it's a chance for East to kind of take a step forward and prove themselves a little bit and feel better about themselves.
Yeah, I mean, any team that's playing Hendricken at this juncture, where you know the Hawks have won 3 straight Super Bowls, they're undefeated. I mean, it's really that statement game. That there is no other statement like beating Hendricken. I mean, you and I were talking about in the office the other day, Hendricken's lost 4 times in the last 4 years. They're now 37-4 in their last 41 games. I mean, simply put, nobody has beaten them in 4 years. It's been unbelievably difficult. So any win over Hendricken would really put a team on the map. But yeah, East could use it just because they have that one loss. And if they have 2 losses, I'll tell you what, I mean, as good as they are, and we both agree that they're probably one of the 2 or 3 best teams in the state on paper, with 2 losses and with maybe 6 teams vying for the playoff spots, nothing is guaranteed at that point. Yep. I mean, they still have games against Portsmouth, against LaSalle, and against South Kingstown. And though, I mean, you know, they're all games that should be competitive. Those are all teams that'll be fighting for playoff spots. So this is a bigger game for East in terms of the playoff picture. I think Hendricken at 4-0 is probably going to be there one way or another. But like we said, it's a chance for Hendricken to get that first real quality win of the season. And they have been impressive. And we talked about the points for and the points against for Hendricken. And you mentioned Remington Blue. Much in the way we were just talking about Alex Corvacy, really just kind of an eye-popping stats. I mean, every game, Remington Blue has had over 100 yards. Mm-hmm. He's scoring multiple touchdowns. He's got 12 touchdowns in 5 games. I mean, he has just been a workhorse for them. And we're not even talking about their best receiver, who I think probably, along with Marvin Markeem and Keon Wilson, the kid with LaSalle, is one of the best in the state, Lee Moses. I mean, he's had 4 touchdowns of over 50 yards. He's going to be the fastest player on the field. Unless you're talking about his teammate Power Kangos, pretty close to his speed. Yeah. But, I mean, he's going to be the fastest guy out there and is capable at any point of breaking big plays. And East has given up plenty of big plays. So it's a complicated matchup because for as good as Hendricken's defense has been, you have to assume they're going to give up some points. And for as bad as East's defense has been, you have to assume that Hendricken is going to score its fair share of points. Yeah. So on paper, even with Hendricken's defense being good, it looks like it should be a shootout type game, or at least a high scoring game.
It could be, yeah, it definitely could be. As far as the matchup, I mean, last year they played twice, both close games. There was a 7-point game in the regular season and a 14-point game in the playoffs. Yeah. Hendricken won both of those matchups. Those were big games for East, games where they really wanted to make a statement, prove that they were for real, and they couldn't quite get it done. You know, this is kind of the same type of thing. I think what we learned from those games is that Hendricken, as they've done many times against whether it's LaSalle or Cranston East, they can slow down a fast-paced, high-flying offense.
Yeah, they did it against LaSalle in the Super Bowl the last 2 years. They had Gatorade Players of the Year, really good athletes, maybe the best quarterback in the state, best running back in the state. And Hendricken made those LaSalle teams play their game, and they did the same thing to East last year. They actually trailed East at halftime in that regular season game, 14-7, or was it the playoff?
It was the playoff game,
14-7, and outscored them big time in the second half and really limited that East offense, which was really explosive. They didn't let them get going.
Yep.
And part of the reason they can do all of that is because of the way they control the ball, the way they run the ball. They're really, really strong in getting quality yards on first and second down, so they keep drives going with third and fourth down conversions. They're not afraid to go for fourth down, even near midfield, as long as it's a short short yardage. So they're just good at keeping things going and keeping the ball away from high power teams. And then their defense is so talented and so athletic that if they get a couple of turnovers, that gives them another 6-7 minute drive, and all of a sudden you realize you've kept the best offense in the state, you know, off the field for 20 of the last 30 minutes. And that's how you beat a team with offense like that.
Yeah, absolutely. They have an amazing ability to control games. That is what has marked their 3-year run of state championships, is the ability to just control games. And last year in that playoff game, and this should be a concern for the East defense, they gave up over 300 yards rushing to Hendricken in that game. A lot of it in the second half. I don't think Hendricken threw a pass in the second half.
Didn't have to.
Yeah. This East defense is younger, a little bit smaller in certain spots. So that's, you know, a tough – when you start comparing those numbers, that's a little tough to take for East.
Right, and Hendrickson ran for that many yards in the second half of that game, in that game in general, with basically the same personnel.
Yes.
A few different linemen now, yep. But Remington Blue was at the middle of it. Patrick Gill was the quarterback. Power Kanger ran for 50 yards or so. So they had the same guys that were able to do it against what was probably a better East defense at that time than the one they're facing now. Yep. So there could be some holes there. And another thing that sort of favors Hendrickson is that they're probably the only team in the state that can match up with those explosive East receivers that we were talking about.
Yeah.
That can not necessarily have to put two guys on Marvin and two guys on Markeem and really, really shade things, because with Lee Moses and Matt Duffy and Power Kanga and Mitch Lucci out there in the secondary, they have the sort of guys that can probably play man and have the speed and physicality to stay with them. So it's... if anybody can match up with East, it's Hendrickson, and there's some really good things to look for from what the Hawks have done.
Yep, and I think that what you said about the secondary, that might be the one thing that can define the game, because Hendrickson's probably going to be able to run the ball. They're probably going to score some points. If East can keep up against most teams, but what they do is throw the ball pretty consistently, and against those guys, it's not going to be as easy. As it was against even a team like Barrington, who's really talented and has a lot of good athletes. Their athletes are not as good as what Hendrickson has in the secondary.
And Hendrickson also doesn't give up a lot of big plays. He's just thrived on those big plays, those quick drives. They give up a score, they get one right back, and it's almost like the first score never happened. You know, the game's back tied, or they're leading. Hendrickson makes you work for your points. Mm-hmm. You can get them sometimes. I mean, West put up 10 last week, but it was long drives. Their touchdown came out of fourth down play. I mean, they just don't give up these huge chunks because of how, you know, athletically gifted they are on the field. And that's sort of contrary to the way East has scored this year. It hasn't been a lot of systematic drives. It's been, you know, let's get 30 yards here, let's get 30 yards, two plays, touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ultimately, I think we both believe East has a shot in this one, especially with that offense. You can't ever count out that offense. Ultimately, I think Hendrickson's just going to be able to control this game a little bit more. And that's going to make it tough for East. We got the Hawks winning this one 41-35.
We both made bold predictions at the beginning of the year, and we're both going against them right now.
Are we?
Yeah, you said East would beat Hendrickson and LaSalle.
Yep.
I said Hendrickson would go, I think, 5-3. And with this win, they'll already be at 5. I don't know how they get to 5-3 if they win this game.
Well, that was the bold prediction section.
That's why they were bold.
Not the bold. We're not feeling bold today, people.
Practical.
Yes, very
practical predictions.
All right, moving on to another matchup in Division I, South Kingstown visiting Cranston West for West's homecoming game on Saturday at 1 o'clock at Cranston Stadium. Storyline for this one is pretty simple. One of these two teams could make a case, force their way into the playoff conversation if things break the right way, but not both, I don't think. I think the loser of this game is probably going to be out of luck when it comes to the playoff picture.
Yeah, I haven't run the numbers, but I think West might even be mathematically out if they lose. I mean, they're going to have five losses. You can't get in at 3-5. I haven't looked to see if it's ever happened, but I just can't imagine that it has or that it will this year. So it's an elimination game for West, for sure. And even if they go 4-4, it's no guarantee, but it would probably put them back into the mix a little bit. For South Kingstown, we saw them beat Portsmouth, thought that was a huge win, and it probably was in the grand scheme of things. And then they had LaSalle on the ropes last week, had them were up 16-13 and couldn't finish the job. And so now they're back to 1-2. Still kind of hard to know about them because they've played three really good teams. They have that big quality win against Portsmouth, but they've lost to Hendrickson, they've lost to LaSalle. This will tell us a little bit about both teams. South Kingstown should win this one if they want to make the playoffs. If they want to be that one of those six teams that is vying for the spots, they're going to have to win this one. Otherwise, them and West fall into, you know, who is the sixth team? They're going to that team battling. But West is tough, man. I mean, West has been the best winless team I think I've ever seen. I mean, they're 0-4, and they have played competitively with really good teams.
Yeah, you saw them last week against Hendrickson. Mm. That was a 13-10 game almost into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Until Hendrickson got one big play and then kind of pulled away from there. Can West get this on track? Can they do what they've done against these great teams, against a team that maybe isn't quite at that level, and finally get over the hump?
Yeah, it's tough. How many times can this happen where they come so close
right.
and fall short against these good teams? After a while, it has to take a toll on you. I mean, if they had beaten LaSalle and even still lost to Hendrickson, I think they'd be feeling pretty good, thinking they have a chance to get, you know, up to 2-3, get themselves into it, have wins over two other potential playoff teams. But they lost that game to LaSalle by a point, and they lost a Hendrickson game when they gave Hendricken, you know, the best game that Hendricken has faced this year, but still they came away with a loss. Barrington, it was 7-7 at halftime. Barrington's undefeated, and, you know, they pulled away from West in the second half. It's just been a tough way to go with these games, and after a while, you start to wonder if they can ever get over the hump. They haven't been able to make the big plays in the second half to win these games. They did against LaSalle a little bit, but then their defense couldn't get one stop to close it out. And I think that's a little bit the exception of what's been holding them back, because I think their defense has been pretty good. But they just don't have the offensive firepower. And it's kind of hard to figure out why, because Raekwon Kosiliewicz is a good running back. He got hurt a little bit against Hendricken, so that definitely held them back. But he's good. Steven Furtado has taken some big steps at quarterback, and it looks like he's probably going to be the guy for the foreseeable future there. Has run the ball very well, and actually threw the ball fairly well last week. Forgive me on this name. Oluwasaya Banjo had four catches for 70 yards. Alex Cordalesa has been their best player, according to Steve Storer, their coach. So there's guys on offense that have been pretty good and have looked good, but the points just haven't really followed. Red zone success has been an issue. And I don't know. I don't know if there's really a light at the end of the tunnel. It's been an ongoing problem, and they're 0-4 because of it.
There is some precedent for a late season run by West. I mean, they started 0-4 in league play last year. Same kind of thing, a tough game against LaSalle, played okay against Hendricken, and then they won their next three league games.
Yes, so 3-4 going into the East game.
Yep. So they've got, you know, if they can kind of channel that and do it again, they might be able to force themselves back into the picture. But it's just an uphill battle for them right now.
Yeah, they hang close, and it seems like one play really kind of breaks their back. It was that way last year, too. Mm-hmm. That Thanksgiving game on East, against East, it looked like a blowout with the final score, but it wasn't. But then East had a big touchdown late in the second half, and then West had a turnover, and East had another touchdown.
Yeah.
They had the same thing, and the next thing you know, it's a three-possession game. So they don't play four quarters of the real tough, solid football that they need to win. But I don't know. They're just a tough team to figure out at this point in the season. They really are. Yeah. They're getting a little healthier, I think, minus Kosiliewicz, who's a big, big if. But Jack Hammond has come back. He's played defense, and he's played well. He's played a little bit of offense, but they've focused on Bam Hernandez and Kosiliewicz as far as running the ball. I don't know. It's do or die for them. I mean, they got to win this game, or we'll just be talking about, nothing.
Yeah.
Talking about
finishing strong.
Yeah, just getting a few wins to build on for next year.
Yep.
And there is something to be said for that. They do have a young team. I mean, a lot of these guys are young, but I don't think they're quite ready in the middle of October to start looking ahead to 2014. Yeah, at least they don't want to.
Right. So we're going to take the Rebels in this one in a close one, South Kingstown, 20-14. And a couple of Division II non-league games to talk about. It's a quiet week in Division II. Everyone has either a non-league game or a week off. Friday, we've got Pilgrim visiting Coventry at 7 o'clock. The Okers, two losses in a row after a 2-0 start to league play. So they're reeling a little bit. Pilgrim did pretty well against Central 2 weeks ago, and then a struggle against West Warwick last week, 46-16 in that one. For both these teams, I think it's just a game that's an opportunity to try to take a good step, you know, step in the right direction.
Yeah, for Pilgrim, certainly, I think that's, I mean, any game right now, I think, is sort of that idea. They just want to get some positives out there. You never know what teams are going to do in these non-league situations. Do they treat it as a chance to rest up? I mean, you don't think Pilgrim will do that because they're trying to get in the win column. They're trying to get a win and get one however they can. So they're going to play their guys, I think. But Coventry has played two tough teams in Vets and Johnston the last 2 weeks. It wouldn't be a shock if they don't go with, you know, their A team all the way through. And they could be 4-0. I think they're a pretty good team. I think their 2-2 record's a little deceiving, because they lost to Vets by a point on that miracle two-point conversion play we've talked about a little bit. And then the game against Johnston last week, they had a lead. It was really close into the fourth quarter, and they ended up losing by 8 points.
Yeah.
So, you know, another game they could have won. And they're 2-2 and still right in the thick of the playoff race. So I don't think they're going to really chance something happening. That said, they'll still probably come out and try to win the game in the first half or first three quarters and get some of their guys out there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I bet Pilgrim views it as a fairly decent opportunity to improve and, I don't know, maybe get a win. I mean, maybe they think these non-league games are their best chances at this point.
Yeah, they do have one non-league victory over Smithfield.
Yep.
As a Division IV team, much different animal against Coventry. But, yeah, I mean, maybe the Okers rest some people. And Pilgrim has shown they can hang, you know, they played well against Central. They've been in some of these games in the early going. A couple of plays don't go their way, and all of a sudden things get away from them. And if Coventry is taking it easy a little bit, hey, maybe Pilgrim sneaks up and gets a victory.
Yeah, it seems like Pilgrim's defense is what's kind of struggling a little bit right now.
Yeah.
Offensively, I think they're moving the ball okay. Mm-hmm. Rob Quain has put up some decent numbers. Rob Caramello, the receivers, caught a few balls. Nolan Kelly's been a nice surprise at running back ever since the first game, really. They've been putting up huge points, but they've been, you know, they've been scoring, which is certainly something they didn't do a ton of last year.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't win games when you give up 46 points or whatever it was last week. And Coventry has the potential to put up a lot of points. I mean, they've got three good running backs, a decent quarterback, and have been pretty successful offensively this year. So, again, you just don't really know how these non-league games go in Division Two.
So we'll see if the Pats can make some headway, but we've got the Okers in this one, 33-18. And another D2 non-league game, West Warwick visiting Vets on Friday at 7 o'clock. And we know the Hurricanes are going to not take it easy, but they're not super worried about this game. They had two big wins last 2 weeks. They're a little beat up, and they want to just kind of get ready for the stretch run, I think.
You have inside information here?
I do, yes. Yeah. I do have some inside information.
Yeah, no, and that's understandable for them. I mean, they got to be feeling good, but also they're a little beat up, I'm sure. They've played some tough teams. They played Coventry. They played Woonsocket. Woonsocket's undefeated. And I think that game probably took a little bit of a toll on them. And then they beat Charahoe last week. So, you know, they're 3-1. They have to really, really like where they stand in the division right now. I mean, right now they're tied for second with Johnston. That game is on the horizon. It's scheduled for early November.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're them, it's one thing if you're Pilgrim and you haven't won. You need to take these steps and you need to build and you need to use these non-league games as a learning experience and as potentially your chances for a win. Vets is in this playoff race. They have a larger goal here. They have their eye towards the postseason. I think it would almost be foolish for them to put out their best players for any longer than a quarter or a half against a West Warwick team that, from all accounts, is pretty tough and physical and big.
Yeah,
I think that'll probably be the dominating storyline here. Maybe they'll play the guys a little bit, maybe some not at all, and I don't think there's gonna be a huge takeaway from the final score here, at least on Vets' end.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't take a big takeaway from that. This reminds me of Pilgrim a couple years ago when they were in the playoff race and they just did not care about their non-league games.
Used to
games.
Get killed. In the
they
games.
Lost one like 52-0 or something like that. I don't know if Vets is gonna do that, but again, it's a game they're not super worried about. On the other side, West Warwick is 2-2 in league play, and they may want to kind of keep the momentum rolling. They may not take it quite as easy because they started 0-3, and they were a team that was way up in our preseason polls. Both of us had them very high. We thought maybe a D2 favorite even.
Yep.
So that 0-3 start was tough for them, but they have come back strong. The win over Pilgrim last week, and they may try to keep the momentum rolling.
Yeah, that makes sense. You would think they want to stay on the throttle a little bit for sure.
Yep. We've got the Wizards winning this one 29-20. And one other game to talk about, it's another non-leaguer in D2, Mount Hope visiting Cumberland on Friday at 7 o'clock. The Huskies are 2-2 in league play. We expected them to be in a little better shape than that, but they've played some tough teams so far. They have played Woonsocket and Johnston. Those are their two losses.
Yeah, not very impressive against Johnston.
No, not very impressive against Johnston. That is true. And then Cumberland was way up there, our second highest ranked D2 team for a while, but then they lost to North Kingstown last week, and things have just gone haywire over in Division 2B. Cumberland, North Kingstown, Rogers, all up there with 3-1 records, so things are a little crazy there. This will be interesting if they both play, you know, their main guys and don't take it easy. It'll be interesting to see how the two subdivisions of D2 stack up, because you know, oftentimes in the past few years, you don't get a good picture of that because they only play in non-league, and then all of a sudden in the playoffs, you end up with four teams from one side making the quarterfinals.
Right, that happened a couple of years ago.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. I think Cumberland is a definite team to watch here and should handle Mount Hope and should be a D2 Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I mean, especially see if they respond after that loss to North Kingstown. They haven't lost in a while. They've lost in Division 2 in quite a while. Undefeated last year, won the D2 Super Bowl, started out 3-0 in D2 this year. So, you know, they take it a little personally and come back, or do they do what we've talked about in some of the other games and take it a little easier? Hard to know, but it's about as good as it gets around the state besides the games we're talking about right now.
Yep. All right, that is going to do it for us on the podcast. If you're going out to Cranston Stadium on Friday, we'll see you there. It should be an exciting one.
I won't see you there.
You won't see me.
You will.
Yeah, this guy's going to Clemson. Yeah. He's got a bigger football.
I gotta go see a pretty exciting game myself. Yeah.
All right. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next week.